Gila just blessed the beat. Shana the Songbird.
And this is Shahari.
And welcome to another episode of Why the Songbird Sings. Shahari, yes. How are you doing? How have you been?
I'm good. All good.
What's new? What's going on? Tell us about yourself.
This weekend, I just chilled out. I went to a friend's house and I helped him with his vehicle. We put new tires on his truck. And we went on an adventure to Mississippi to find out that missing part that he was missing that he had all along in the packaging. You know, it's all good. And then at the end of the day, what did we do? We had some beers and watched some DCIs. Apparently, that's DCI season. If you don't know what DCI is, that is a marching band competition, a very extreme marching band.
Do they consider themselves a marching band? Do they consider themselves a marching band?
Well, essentially, they are marching, and they are a band. It's just no woodwinds.
But when they cuss you out, but when they cuss you out,
I don't know what they would do. What do they call themselves? What do you call them?
Because they call it drum corps.
Okay, right? Drum corps. It's, if you don't know what drum corps is, it's basically marching band.
I guess it is. I'll show my fat ass up. All right, carry on.
It's for, like, marching band to the extreme. Like, the best of the best in marching band, except there's no woodwinds. And it's mainly white people that do this.
Facts. Or just Latinx people.
And Latinx. Again, I say it's mainly white people that do this. So most of us of color wouldn't know what drum corps is. But yeah, it's DCI season.
Because I didn't drum know corps and Ash.
Exactly. But yeah, it was pretty. It's been a good weekend. I'm proud of what I got done at work, and looking forward to this week, just seeing what unfolds, and. I'm going to set up the booth because I got my sound absorption stuff.
Yes.
So we're going to put that in this little booth that I set up, and moving on, see what happens. Going to see anything going on with you.
Let's see.
I see you got some tattoos.
I got my first tattoo. My mother and I got tattoos, and my mother, my aunt, and her daughter, we're all getting butterflies, and, but all of our butterflies are different. So I think I sent you the video of my mom's, tattoo,
no.
I think.
No, I just saw two pictures of your, unless one of them wasn't yours.
So the other one was my mother's.
Okay. I saw the one with the cross and then another one.
That's my mom's.
Okay.
Yeah, so my mom, she got one. Her butterfly, it has a cross and it has faith written inside of it. And in the wings, I love how he did it. He kind of like tried to like hiding in there. It has mom and dad for her parents, who have gone on to glory, and then they used red as a color because red symbolizes passion, compassion, love, and whatnot. So it was, it just only, we put some thought into our tattoos, because like we figured that we were probably not going to get more of these.
No.
yeah, I am a piercing girl. Like in college, like I turned around and got my nipples pierced. I got my belly button pierced. I wanted, back dermals. I thought about like a corset, dermal situation, but instead I just kind of just like lay back or whatever with all of that, because I was getting more into performing, and it was just like the, I guess, marketability of a person, if they're doing like, if they want to go into like opera, musical theater, and like they have like a whole bunch of like piercings and tattoos, it's not as marketable in that more conservative audience. Even though there are a couple opera singers now that have tattoos and stuff like that, but like oftentimes they have to cover it up, or their costumes cover it up, or their gowns or whatever cover them up to where it's not an issue. But so yeah, so I just kind of like stay back from tattoo area, and I prefer piercings, and I love the ones that you can't see unless like I tell you or take my clothes off. Because my family did not know I had my nipples pierced until I told them, like, a few months ago. I was like, yeah, I would come home for the summers, and, like, they didn't notice that, like, my nipples were pierced. Like, I think we went to a water park and everything. Like, they didn't know.
Oh, so I guess you didn't take your shirt off then, huh?
No, I've always had insecurities with my body, even when I was smaller. Like, when I weighed, like, 140, 150... And when I look back on pictures, I'd be like, oh my God, bitch, you need a sandwich. And it was funny because even then I still thought I was still fat. And I even developed like an eating disorder briefly. My freshman, sophomore, and part of my junior year of college, I kind of struggled with like a little eating disorder situation. But I moved past all of that, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But I still have little issues, like when it comes to my body. And so with my butterfly, what you call it? I sent you a picture. The body's made of diamonds. That's my birthstone. Also, I love the fact that diamonds come from the earth and come from these ugly rocks, and out of them come these beautiful stones. So that's one reason why I chose the diamond for the body. One wing is normal, and then the other wing is composed of the birth flowers of myself, my grandfather's, my mother's, my grandmother's, my father, my aunt, and her daughter. I have all seven of our birth flowers within the wing that create the wing of the butterfly. So yeah, and it was cool. Like I was trying to go to sleep during the process, and I really couldn't go to sleep.
I wonder why.
Like, because like I closed my eyes, and I had my eyes closed for most of it, but like when I got to the part, like when I got to like trying to get into like a deep REM sleep, I could not. Like it was just like, it was like the repeated motion, like it wasn't soothing. His body temperature was soothing, because like when he would like lay his body on me, like I felt more soothed. But like it was just kind of like, I don't know, it was just like I just couldn't go to sleep. But I laid there with my eyes closed.
Most people don't go to sleep getting tattoos. It's not necessarily
apparently the ones who go to sleep have like their brain chemistry, like something's up with that.
It's deep.
But huh?
That's deep.
You said deep? I'm peeing. So yeah, so that happened. Today I met with a musician for one of my projects that I am hoping to have done by, well, I hope to release by October. I'm super excited. It's been a while since I've sung and performed, and yeah, and it's just like, I woke up and like 15 minutes later after I woke up, I had to start singing for this young man that I never met before, and it worked out. Like, over the course of the hour, my voice started warming up, and like I was able to like have more freedom with stuff, and like he started getting into it, and I was like, okay, this is gonna work out. This is a good mesh. And so it's just like me trying to finalize and like figure out what all do I want to do, like whether I want to like do a full band thing or do I want to just do a cute acoustic set. I don't know, we'll see. Either way it goes, I'm excited for that project to come out, because I'm working on several projects at the moment. So keep a lookout for Shauna the Songbird on Instagram, more than likely I'll probably just link stuff to Why the Songbird Sings podcast.
Yeah, you've always liked to do multiple things at one time. So you're just following in your path. I'm kind of doing the same thing, doing multiple things. That I'm just taking one thing at a time.
Because you used to always talk about being multitasking, and I'm just
Well, you don't really be multitasking. You just do this, and then 2 minutes later, you're doing something else, or you'll be on the phone and studying and watching a whole documentary at the same time. Like, you're only doing one of these things at once. You just got all this going around you at the same time. But yeah,
it works out. Like, I don't know, it works with me. And yeah, and then I'm moving this weekend. That's gonna be fun. It's interesting. The dude is very relaxed, and like at first I was kind of nervous at first because I thought I was gonna get like sexual assaulted, and I thought like it was a scam. To be honest,
are you talking about the recording thing that you did?
No, this is for the apartment that I'm getting.
I thought you were getting your own by yourself.
I wanted to, but like up here, like it's ridiculous because they want like $3,000 for like a one bedroom, or they want like $3,500 for a studio, and it's just like some of those places. Okay, the way it's decorated and stuff like that. Okay, I can see where you want to make up your money from because you put a lot of money into the decor, and then some places is like, it literally looks like Abuela just took off the plastic off the sofa, and I am not paying thousands of dollars a month to live in a place like that. And so it's kind of a blessing because like I was kind of stressing because I never been to the point of like, all right, I need to find something like immediately, and then like I guess I gotta drop all this money in order to have like, I have a place that I like and want to have. And out of nowhere, he hit me up once, and I thought it was a scam, but then he hit me up twice, and I was like, you know what, I was like, let me just give it a try, let me see. And we started texting. He said he'll charge me $2,000. I pay $1,500 now where I'm at now, so I'm like, okay, it's $500 more, but it's like more amenities that come with the place. And so I was like, okay, cool, it's the same distance away from work, like I really can't beat that. And like they have like lounges and business areas where I can like turn around and like take my recording stuff, record the podcast and stuff. And it's like, it was too good to be true from pictures. But when I actually went there with him, and like he toured and like he showed me around, but what scared me was we were talking because he stays up late and I work night, so like I was at work and he was messaging, whatever. And he was like, well, if you're going on break, you can come now and whatnot. And I was like, come now? Like, it's 1 a.m, sir. Like, who tells a young lady, like, you can come over 1 a.m to view the apartment like that? Like, I was kind of weary. I'm like, first of all, from the pictures of the place and the fact that you saying rent is only going to be $2,000, I'm like, that's already too good to be true, especially looking at these other listings. But me and him had a big conversation about how everything's so expensive for no reason. And it was so, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe he's just a really chill guy. He gets comfortable very quickly. He's Dominican. He's in his 30s. Maybe he's just one of those people, like, once he, like, vibes with you, he vibes with you.
Yeah.
And literally, I went to go see the apartment complex and the apartment. I got there at 6:50. And I did not leave until 8:30. And we toured around. And then, like, a lot of time, we were just, like, literally sitting on the couch, like, talking. Everything. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Yeah.
Past relationships, everything. I was like.
Yeah, that's.
He telling me about his exes and shit. Like, I'm just like.
Yeah, that's you.
You know what? I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm like, okay, I can fuck with you. I can, like, you're not a creep.
I mean, on top of that, you kind of need to do that if you're talking about living in the same place, ain't it? That's kind of necessary, somewhat.
But I've had roommates, like, we didn't get that. We didn't, not that quickly.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Like, not that quickly.
That wouldn't have been me.
Especially, like, hell, it even took you a while to, like, grow on me when we lived together.
You never grew on me. You never did.
Damn. See how you really feel. Is this how it is? Damn. I thought we were better than this.
As far as living together.
Damn.
And on top of that, by the time you were only there for 2 out of the 4 years we technically signed together.
Don't do this.
It's the truth.
But it was a good 2 years. We had good times.
Yeah, it was good times. You almost set the house on fire cooking some eggs. Because you fell asleep.
That was tragic. Because didn't we come from downtown or something?
Yeah, and you went in your room completely stripped and left the light on. I'm like, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you. I needed this in my life.
I mean,
so I just went downstairs and turned the stove off.
Leaving downtown Mobile, you have to like strip your clothes and shower after leaving downtown Mobile, because like it leaves
after
a funk on
you. Leave downtown Mobile. I don't be up under everybody like that to where I need to do a whole hose down.
I mean,
when I come from downtown.
But like, I like to dance. I like to, you know, I like to do my thing. And then sometimes, like, while you're doing your thing, you know, a dude pull you here, a girl pull you here. Sometimes both at the same time pulling you. It's just like, I get down and dance. And then I'm short, so everyone dropping their drinks on me. It was, I needed the shower. Now in New Orleans, however, we would leave Bourbon Street and it would be no kind of smell on us. Well, at least for me anyway.
And that's
me
shocking
and Danny talk
too.
About
that's
this. Like,
actually shocking, because down Bourbon Street be smelling terrible too sometimes.
Right, me and Dana was like, we were like, how in the fuck Bourbon Street, you can walk down and you can sweat, you can have all these interactions, and you would not smell like you've been doing God knows what. but in
it's probably because Mobile, they clean the street more often, like every day. Like literally, they hose down that street like every day.
They do. The time switches around like between 5 and 6 is when the zombies come from Bourbon and they start pressure washing the streets. It's been too many times I've seen the people stumble and walk and literally look like The Walking Dead. And I'm just over here like, oof, thank God I'm more composed. But
this time, yeah.
Anyways, nevertheless, let's get to reflection. I feel like we've like talked shit and gone down memory lane a good bit. Let's go ahead and get into reflections. Look around and survey the land. Get down on your knees and feel it. Is it soft? Is it hard? Are there things polluting it, distorting it from excellent health? Look up. Where is the light that guides you and brings energy? Will it shine upon you? Will you allow it? Stay where you can enjoy the loving touch from him. Are you able to receive the cleansing and rejuvenation? Don't overindulge, or death can be waiting. In the same breath, if one has not provided enough elixir of life, death is also there. Be conscious of the times and when it's time to harvest, for you can always sit and watch, but must act. Repeat and never become too lackadaisical, because times change and you have to be able to maintain your garden. Sincerely, Shauna.
That was good. That was beautiful. Now, let's see.
Your analysis is getting me. Like, I be when I edit, it'd be getting me, because I'd be like,
because I was just trying to just take a track back. All right. In this, trying to figure out what type of question I need to ask to understand how it is you were feeling, exactly what was happening in the moment, and just hope that I'm not scarred by it. So in this question,
not scarred. I can't stand you. You can have my
what? Nerves. What is this moment? What moment was this?
This is not a particular moment in my life. This is simply a reflection of gardening and using gardening as a symbolism for oneself and one's personal growth. I kind of got inspired. Have not watched the famine video that you sent.
Oh,
but that's what made me think of it, because I haven't finished the one you sent before. I think I'm halfway through that one with Jolene Whittaker.
Oh, I didn't know you actually watched all of them.
I mean, you send them to me. What else was I supposed to do?
Yeah, I just wanted to share it with you since that's
do I not? Do I not supposed to watch them?
I don't know how you feel about them.
What you call it? I mean, like, I feel like a lot of stuff she says is like appropriate for, you know, it's probably appropriate for a lot of people, and I'm sure that like some things like I might can pull from that later, later down the line when I actually like am in that similar situation. But other than that, it's like, okay, cool. It's a nice perspective, on things. The one I'm on now, I don't know. I feel like she was like refraining herself from being messy. I feel like it was like some background mess. Like, I feel like it was some background mess that she didn't want to talk about.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
But it was on her heart.
Yeah, it was on there.
So I was like,
she was being restrained by the Holy Spirit. Yes, she was.
I was like, oh, she hoped that's a mess. Oh, sis. But okay. But she kept going with her purpose, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So you were talking about like literal gardening, or just gardening, like as far as taking care of your mental.
All of the above, like taking care of your mental, taking care of your spiritual, like you as a holistic person, taking care of yourself in form of gardening. So the sun is simply, is God, and what you receive from him as far as, you know, from the sun we get vitamin D. Like we can't go a long time without really being exposed to sunlight. You know, if you don't have enough sunlight, you know, your body breaks down a little bit. And so it's like, you know, God, of course, is the sun, which is, you know, always typically the use of, when you're talking about celestial beings, you compare them to constellations or something like that. The elixir of life, water. Mm-hmm. Like, we need water. Water is cleansing. Water is supposed to be pure. Water is essential. That can be whatever, however you want to take it. It can be literally, hoes, y'all need to drink some more water in y'all lives. You know, stop drinking all the Cokes and all the Starbucks. Like, y'all need to drink some water. Or it could be like you need to like start doing stuff that actually benefits your body, and doing stuff that actually benefits your soul. Like, actually doing stuff like receiving those things as well as having that connection and that direct touch from the sun, aka from God as well. And then like the ground, your surroundings, you know, where you plant your roots, you know, just like with plants, is highly important. If you know, yes, sometimes a rose can grow from a sidewalk crack, but how sustainable will that be? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like environment is important.
You can get run over or walked on very easily.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's important as well. And then, then times are changing. Like, you know, things, you know, the weather, you know, collecting your harvest, you know, knowing when certain seasons are ending or when certain seasons are approaching, like knowing when to prepare for stuff, whether it's mentally, financially, spiritually, when to prepare, when to hold back, when to turn around and go out and bring forth and whatnot. Like all these things, you know, it's a time, it's a season. So that's where the harvest comes in.
Okay, so overall, that sexual innuendo of a
What's sexual innuendo?
That sexual sounding reflections was you gardening your mental.
Oh, the whole thing sounded sexual to you?
It almost always does, but that might just be me. That's why I was trying to figure out how to ask about it. But it was a good explanation on the reflections. That was great. We all need to garden. Pluck out the weeds. Make sure we get put in good soil, and be careful of who you got around you, that the type of energy they suck up or give out, you know. Shauna in her reflections, you might not have gotten that. But in the explanation of the reflections, you get it.
Also weird.
Oh, but that was good. That was good.
If also you happy have... that you do ask, because if people didn't ask, then, yeah, I'm sure they will probably be confused.
If you have any reflections on the reflections, please let us know at whythesongbirdsingspodcast@gmail.com or at whythesongbirdsings on Instagram or whythesongbirdsings on Facebook. And then there's WTSS on TikTok. So please let us know your reflections on the reflections. And we're going to move on to Words of Light segment. Here's a Words of Light segment with Shahari. We're still focusing on loving people and seeing yourself for who you are. So I think last week we talked about seeing yourself for who you are, and now this week we're going to focus more on love and the truthful aspect of love, because I know my tendency for most people describe me as shadeful, because I can be very bluntly honest sometimes. So we're gonna go over some of that, because there's a devotional from the Bible app, and it's called Love Like That. Love Like That. Love Like That. And it's focusing on the bold aspect of love. Okay, so here's that devotional, Love Like That. This is talking about boldness of love. If you want to love like Jesus, you can't shy away from what you know is right and true. You can't maintain silent just to go unnoticed. Loving like Jesus is not for the chicken-hearted. It requires a fierce commitment to being authentic. It requires a bold commitment to being a truth-teller. As I study the life of Jesus, how he loved others in practical ways, the most startling quality I find is authenticity. While often serene and peaceful, he didn't shy away from showdowns. He corrected his disciples. He spoke his mind. No one accused him of being a pushover or winsome. He was a straight shooter. He didn't dance around what needed to be said. He said it. He made others feel uncomfortable, if necessary. He never allowed truth to take a back seat to politeness. He never backed down from confrontation. Not only did he correct false teachings on numerous occasions, he boldly silenced the chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees by putting them in their place with scripture. He exposed their true motives. A self-seeking man boastfully promised to follow Jesus anywhere because he thought it would mean political or financial gain for him. Jesus corrected his wrong motives by telling him that he would be following a homeless Messiah. Jesus corrected Martha's anxious heart by pointing to her sister sitting at his feet and listening to him. He basically said, "You should be more like your sister." And while he had more tenderness and patience with his disciples, he sometimes rebuked and confronted their actions too. In short, Jesus was the ultimate truth teller, courageous, confident, bold. He is a model for living authentically and honestly. Jesus didn't speak the truth from a self-centered heart. He did it from within the context of pain for anyone who is missing the true message of God. His conviction was so powerful he couldn't care less what others thought. His truth-telling came from deep and personal anguish for those who are hung up on superficiality, externals, in hypocrisy. He spoke truth to save them from themselves. He spoke truth from love. When we separate love from truth-telling, we are trading genuineness for approval. We are trading boldness for cowardice. This creates a false and fleeting connection at best, about an inch deep. But when we risk rejection and get real, we begin to love more like Jesus. The scripture I want you all to base this devotional off of is Matthew 19, 16 through 21. And it reads, "Someone came to Jesus with this question, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he responds, 'Why ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments.' The man asked, 'Which ones?' And Jesus replies, 'You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself.' 'I've obeyed all these commandments,' the young man replied. 'What else must I do?' Jesus told him, 'If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.'" So that was Love Like That in the devotional. So that's what I've been trying to work on, because he's calling me to be more confident, because I know I have a confidence issue. But I'm slowly getting better. And along with my neighbors who continue to be annoying, it's fine. I just continue to do what I need to do, continue to pray for them, and also don't be afraid to be truthful, because the tendency is to be polite, but then people think all is well and it's not, and then you just keep getting hurt because you're not telling them the truth. So love is also bold. It's not just being sugar-coated and nice and kind all the time. Sometimes people need to hear the truth. Sometimes you need to hear the truth. And ultimately, that is what you need to base your life on anyway. So here is here's a prayer for you guys. Say this prayer with me. Lord, guide me in your truth. May my entire family be led by your truth. Psalms 25 and 5, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. May I continually walk in your truth, in my business, in all of my relationships throughout my entire life. In Jesus' name, amen. That was your Words of Light segment with Shahari. Go forth and prosper.
Come through. Ooh. I got love all over me. Sometimes love is hurtful. But one thing you need is truthfulness in the love, honey.
You said love was hurtful?
We didn't say true love. We just said love can hurt sometimes. Sometimes that truth can hurt.
Yeah.
That truth can hurt your feelings real hard. And you can be butthurt. You can be ready to fight that motherfucker. But I feel like if it comes out of love and just genuine, like, love and care for that person, I feel like, you know, it's not all the way bad. It just hurts. It just sucks a little bit.
Yeah, it's
it's pulling off the Band-Aid sometimes.
It's hard to get correction sometimes. That's where humility comes in. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about something about people born in 1995 and after. I mean, this is a thought that just kept coming to me. It's like 1995 and after. because I went to school with people who were 1995, and I was born 94. And so I went to school with people born 94, 95, and people born 95 just tend to be less humble based off of what I saw growing up. And they also seem to be know-it-alls, too.
I mean, because they're more Gen Z. I think they're, like, that... I think they're that, like, that cusp of, like, the end of millennials and more into...
Well, yeah, originally, the millennials ended at 94, but they kept adding years. Now it's, like, what, 97? Or something like that?
No, it's either 95 or 96.
Yeah, because originally it was 94, and now it's they added years after. But there's definitely a difference between 94 and 95 babies.
Right. Like, you can tell the shift in the product, honey. The product changed. The product has changed. The product is not the same.
Not saying that all 95 babies are humble, but they just seem to be, for the most part,
you know, that's the thing about generational type situations. Like, it's so many similarities within them, and so it's just like, yeah, it's yeah, not everyone is like that, but it's enough of them to where it makes you have that generalization.
This is a thought that just came to mind a few days ago. It's like going to school with people who were 95. It's like y'all are too smart for your own good, and I'm like, can't tell y'all nothing. Keep bumping your head 300 times for you got it. It's like, yeah.
Honey, let me tell you. That's some of the millennials, honey. The millennials, like, they are a bunch, but not millennials. Gen Z, my bad. Them Gen Zs, honey. They are a sharp bunch, but they definitely have some things about them. I'll just be like, oh, God bless the child.
That's just my reflection.
Oh, bless. Your reflection after the reflection on the generation. All right. I hope they know how to garden. But all right, it's interesting that you talked about love today, because the discussion for today is going to be about the different variations of sexuality. So that is perfect. I don't think that you saw the document prior. So the fact that...
What document?
The Google Doc.
Half the time, when I looked at it, you didn't have nothing in there, so I just stopped looking.
Oh. Yeah, like, recently I've been doing them. It just depends on, like, what other stuff that I'm doing and planning when I actually, like, write it down. But yeah, so we're gonna talk about different forms of sexuality. So, like, so my big thing is, love is love. Do what you want to do. Understand that sexuality is not set in stone. So, like, people do not give you the... You don't have the right to gatekeep people's sexuality. If someone wants to, like, change their sexuality, different times, or if someone is, like, with this person this time and they might hook up with this person that time, like, that is perfectly their business. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we as a society need to understand I feel like we're slowly becoming, like, okay with it all, but we need to, like, really we really need to, like, emphasize the fact that, like, people don't owe you anything. It's either you want to talk to that person or you don't.
You said people don't owe you anything. What do you mean?
What is, right, like this people don't from? people like don't owe you. People don't owe you like an explanation on their sexuality or like a concrete definition of like who they are attracted to all the time. Because for some people it does change. Some people it does shift. Some people don't necessarily know the wording or terminology for it. And because it's a lot, apparently it's like 47 type. It's like sexuality and sexual not sexual but like romantic. Like I didn't go into the romantics this time because you have things like aromantic, demiromantic. I'm not going into that today. I'm just strictly focusing on the sexuals.
It sounds like a lot.
Right. So like it's like over a dozen of those things, and just like with the sexualities alone, it's several of them, but a lot of them they sound similar, but then like there are differences with them, and then it's a possibility of like some of them to like almost mean similar as the other ones, but it kind of has like open rein or whatever, or like has less restrictions to the definition, to where if someone is a little bit more loose with their situation, then they can like use that term instead.
Yeah, so basically like, you're saying like mind your business. Like I want to tell my neighbors majority of the time. I mean there is such a thing as free will. I mean there's free will and you have it. And to be honest, it is nobody's business what you want to do. That is between you. And what else? What else were we talking about? As far as trying to define it, I guess that's where all these other classifications come in. That's people trying to define. Because that's why we end up with 47 different things. Yeah.
Exactly. And just like going through them, like I pretty much wrote all the sexuals down or the sexualities down, but it's just like a lot of this just like just mind your business. but they do have like terms for stuff, and I was like, and oftentimes when I'm talking to Danny and Livy, like they just be like, they're like, what the fuck is that? Like, oh my god, like it's a term for everything. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, there's a term for everything. And like the thing is, these terms aren't new. I mean, they've been around since the 20th century, so it's just like they're not, I mean, I guess relatively they're new, but like they're not, like it's not like they just came up with them within the 21st century.
There's nothing new under the sun. Like a lot of these
right. And it's just like, yeah, these are nothing new. So but yeah, so like we said, there's so many forms of sexual orientation, sexual behavior, etc. The most common ones that we know of and that we speak about and that more people are like more aware of is heterosexual. We all know what that is. You straight, you like the person of the opposite sex or gender. Gay, homosexual, lesbian, you like the person of the same sex. Gay is more so termed for man on man, and lesbian is for woman on woman, or female on female, and male on male. Bisexual. So this is one where me and my boyfriend kind of like had like a little slight discussion about, because traditionally with bisexuality it has been termed for you liking people of both sexes, but also that's when you are looking within the gender binary, male and female. And and the big thing with that is, he was like, well, can't you be bisexual and like women and non-binary people, and I was like, you know what? That does hold a valid point, because you are technically attracted to two separate gender identities. However, I feel like textbook-wise, the textbook has always placed bisexuality within the gender norms, the gender binary, and it's always been male and female. And there's nothing I've seen that has, like, stated outside of that. And I'm sure many people probably currently have challenged that. Binary people, it's debatable whether they're... So originally, non-binary people were underneath the trans umbrella because they have transitioned from the binary of man or female to another gender. So that's why traditionally non-binary people have been placed under trans. However, some non-binary people don't see themselves as trans, because I feel like a lot of that is because the stigmatism behind transness, which is like, oh, you have to have some type of surgery, you have to take hormones, you have to do this, you have to do that. And the thing is, that's not the case with transness. Transness is just transgender is just an identity, and you can branch off to whatever specification you want. The whole thing of transgender is that you have transitioned from your original birth gender that you were assigned, and that's it. And so people complicate it with all these extra things, because like even in the transgender community, it's like very questionable, debatable, because a lot of older trans people might be like, well, you're not fully trans if you don't like get on hormones, you're just a man in a dress, or you're just a woman with a strap on in your pants, or like, you know, it's a lot of healing that needs to be done, because it's a lot of it is based on what cis people have developed within their minds of what the process is and what actually it is, which at the basis is we're just not cis, and however we want to express ourselves is going to vary from person to person. But people have this idea that are like, okay, well, if you're going to be trans, you need to like look like the sex that you want or whatever, and it's just like, that's not what everybody wants. Everyone doesn't want that life. And then so then it comes to, especially cis people, the validity of your transness. And then so it's just a lot of misconceptions and everything when it comes to that. So non-binary people, just they're not man, they're not woman, they're non-binary, and they live in that third party space. So a third, yes, so a non-binary femme is someone who does not identify as man or woman, but identifies non-binary, and they kind of just like, they just present themselves in a more feminine nature.
Okay, you explained that very well.
I try to make sure I cover my bases. Because it's easy to get confused, it's easy to get lost. Yeah. And I try to refrain from using terms, but then I also try to use terms so that people can start getting their mind like, okay, this is what this means, this is it being used in this sentence, all right. Like, I'd be hoping that me kind of like balancing the use of terms and the explanation of the terms would kind of like kind of let it sit in a little bit easier for them.
Yeah, but as far as me, for me, as you would say,
for me,
I'm not going to focus too hard on the terms because it's too, there's too many, and it gets to the point where you could be offensive either way if you,
I mean,
give
if
them
you,
the
I
wrong
mean,
term. So, like, in facts. So, is it just better not to say Miss or Mister to a stranger?
Yes. I'm just gonna just go ahead and say it's just better to not do that. Unless they give you a sign of what they prefer, or unless they tell you what they prefer.
Okay, another scenario, what if they look like a straight up woman and you say Miss?
So that's the thing. There are some non-binary people that look, I mean, they could have been a woman at birth and they can look like a straight up woman, but they identify as non-binary and they might not accept Miss. They might accept not necessarily the traditional MS Miss, but MX Miss. Which is supposed to be a,
You said MS?
MX. As in, Like Malcolm X. Like X-ray, xylophone.
It's still pronounced
mix. It's like mix. Yeah. It's like mix. Yeah, it's like mix or mix. It sounds like miss when I hear people say it. Uh-huh. But I don't know if that's like people's accents or not. I don't know if it's like the accent in it. But it's MX, and it's like pretty much like not giving a specific gender role, like a specific binary gender to like a Mr. and Mrs. It's like that other type situation.
Yeah, because I mean, if I see this random person, I don't know them, and I'm helping them with something, like they come buy a ticket, and you look and dress and sound like a woman, I'm most likely
going right. to say Miss. And I feel like for a lot of people, if that is how they carry themselves, they need to have the patience and the tolerance to not be offended and, well, to not take offense, to not take full offense, because what you call it, because if they're presenting this way and the person is like, you know, of course people are so used to that, especially in the South, they're so used to that, and it's just like you know, you can just say, hey, you know, I don't use feminine pronouns or feminine salutations or this and the other. Not psychosocials. Yeah, feminine pronouns or feminine identities. I prefer more gender neutral ones. So, you know, if you say, you know, well, have a nice, if you just say have a nice day, or you know, just not try to use it at all, that's what I would recommend most.
Basically.
But yeah.
Because if somebody comes up to me talking about I don't use gender norm thing, I'm probably might just roll my eyes like immediately, to be honest. That's
my
gonna
God.
Be my first reaction. Is to probably be like, okay. Like, okay. Because I mean, am I ever gonna see you again? Like, just thinking about it. Like, am I ever gonna see you again? This is a hard thing to, you know, handle, because it's like, okay, you come up to me, buy a ticket. Am I ever going to see you again? Is there a reason for you to correct me to this point?
But my thing is, it's like one doing it their due diligence for the person after them. And it's like, you don't
even have to second guess on whether there's a woman or a man in front of me every time I see somebody.
I mean, I would say just, because I stopped using gender norm stuff until like, stop using binary gender terms with people, because there are people out, especially now, it's more people are coming out now identifying in those gray areas. And so it's just like, you don't know. And so it's just like, it's just better if you just don't say anything. And then for some people, like, I mean, some people, like, they feel better, they feel more affirmative in their skin if they are greeted as such, if they do carry themselves more feminine and, like, you call them miss or whatever, sometimes it makes them feel good, but it varies. And, like, you can't really know that for someone who just doesn't know. So it's just like, you just have to, I would suggest you kind of, like, just be more gender neutral until proven otherwise. And yeah, I mean, but that's identity. We're going deep into identity, and that's a whole I can do a whole nother segment on that.
Yeah, I'm probably going to continue with how I was brought up. And then if I get cussed out, okay, that's between you and the Lord. To be totally honest, I'm not going to change my entire upbringing just for that. I'm sorry.
Jesus, absolutely. You have, once again, in the reflections, you have to adapt to the time.
Oh, I'm adapting. And there's also called a boldness in love, too.
Oh, my God. All right. So, we're going back. So that's like a debate with bisexuality. Like I said, that me and my boyfriend had, well, not a debate, but a discussion we had. Because I really couldn't find anything that would lean more towards what he was saying. But yeah, and so yeah, and then also pansexual, which is what I am, whoop, a lot of people are, you don't know what pansexuality is? Pansexuality.
Wait. This is the background of what I think.
Okay, go ahead.
That is... And you just like anybody as long as they're for you energy wise, personality wise?
Essentially, yes. But with pansexuality, it's kind of how I kind of like distinguish it from other sexualities is that you are sexually aroused and sexually attracted to anyone despite their gender, and that's including those people who are not within the binary, which is man and female, man and woman. So you like non-binary people, you like trans people, you like two-spirited people, you like intersex people, like, you don't care what their gender identity is, you can be attracted to them. Because
that's stuck on two-spirited. I'll look it up. You don't need to explain that.
I would just do a whole segment on gender identity, because I do have a thing to pick with the use of LGBTQIA, because originally it was supposed to be centered around sexual orientation, but instead we have developed this whole thing where it's like sexual orientation plus gender identities, which those are two separate things, but we're clumping them all together, and most people pretty much just clump it all as gay or the gay community. And just like, it's just like, first of all, like, just because it's not straight doesn't mean it's gay, but that's how some people think. And so it's just kind of like, but I'm not gonna go down the rabbit hole. Like I said, that's a whole nother segment. So, yeah. Because I can release my demons on that one. Anyways, and another sexuality that's becoming a little bit more, I feel like it's coming more to light than what it was like when I was like in high school or whatever, is asexuality, which apparently has several different forms or several different spectrums with, well, is a spectrum of itself, as well. And so do you know what asexuality is?
That to me sounds like you don't like, you're not sexually attracted to anybody.
Right. So like typically asexual people, they kind of have like no kind of like sexual attraction towards any gender. But there's like different degrees of asexuality. I will go into it in a little bit later. All right. So first,
one. Degrees of that.
It's different degrees. I will go into it later because I feel like we're gonna be in a rabbit hole with that one as well. One is asexual, which is someone who is fluid in their sexuality, and their sexuality like pretty much changes. And I feel like asexual can kind of like, how to say, asexual to me was like, it reminded me of those people that were like a little bit like hetero or homo flexible, but I feel like asexual allows the possibility of like pansexuality and everything else. Like it allows other specifics outside of like hetero and homo situation. And so that's kind of how like I distinguish that. And so asexual is just more so just having that sexual fluidity, no matter what spectrum or what sexuality it is. Allosexual is just describing someone who just experienced sexual attraction at all. There are some people that don't have sexual attractions whatsoever. And so allosexual is just a term just for people who actually just experience sexual attraction towards someone. Androsexual is for people who are romantically attracted and sexually attracted to men, males, and anybody within the masculine realm. And this androsexual. You have any questions so far? I feel you looking.
Okay. This is in the spectrum of asexual.
This is not in the spectrum of asexual. This is just like just a different type of sexual orientation.
Okay, so you just described four of them.
Right.
And they all seem to start with the word A, with the letter A.
Right.
I don't really have any questions. This is just more like a... to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to memorize all this, but you did say there was 47 of them, so this is just 7 out of the 47.
Some of them, like a lot of them, like can go through quickly. Some of them I will probably linger on a little bit more, but like for the most part, like a lot of them like are pretty much like it just makes sense, and like you just kind of like skip through. But also, the 47 includes the sexual behaviors as well, like as far as you like your romantic, like aromantic, demiromantic, like it also involves them as well. And I was gonna save them for another time. That's a whole nother segment that can be done. So luckily the list is not that long for these. The next one, autosexual is someone who's attracted to themselves. That one I found very interesting because it's like technically you are taking self-love to a whole nother level, and it's kind of like more so like you just like into yourself.
This has nothing to do with narcissism whatsoever.
It might be a level that in there, but for the most part,
definitely some of it in there.
But for the most part, it's just like you just want to fuck yourself. Demisexual. So I've talked to I've met people who are demisexuals, and I've brought it up in conversation, and a lot of people are confused by demisexuals, especially the difference between demisexual and pansexual. So demisexual is a part of the asexual spectrum. So this is one of the asexual moments. And for this orientation, it is for people who only are experienced sexual attraction underneath the circumstances of after building up, they experience sexual attraction only under the specific circumstances, such as building a romantic or emotional relationship with a person. So with demisexuals, like, you, it's more so of they only are sexually attracted to someone once that person stimulates them for them to want to be with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't see how that's asexuality.
Because it's not, because with asexuality, at baseline, you don't have a sexual attraction to anybody. With demisexual, someone pretty much have to prove themselves, in a sense, to you for like a romantic or emotional relationship, and within that building of that trust and that building of, you know, that relationship, then you will become sexually attracted to them. It's not automatic. With, you're not automatically sexually attracted to them just because they're attractive. It takes you a while to get to that point. It takes you a minute to get to that point. And with asexuality, it's more so of when you see this fine-ass person, you don't feel anything. You're just kind of like, oh, all right, cool. You cute. Like, you mean, I respect beauty for what it is. You're attractive, but, like, my clit doesn't, like, throb for you. My penis doesn't, like, erect for you. Like, or both, my penis and my clit does not erect for you. Like,
very,
you know,
good explanations. Very vivid.
I just want like everyone who's listening to kind of like get like a firm understanding.
Yeah, we'll get it.
So, I mean, any questions with demisexual? Oh, and the difference between demisexual and pansexual, which is a question that I've received a lot from people, is that with pansexual, you don't have to go through this test of like building a relationship or having an emotional connection with someone. It's just like heterosexuality, it's just like homosexuality and bisexuality. If you see a person and they're fine and they fine to you and they have the physical features that you like, and you get aroused by them, and it doesn't matter what their genitalia is or what their identity is, then that's when you're more in the pansexual field compared to demisexual, where you have to build up this sense of connection before the person is able to have this sexual arousal towards you. Last one I want to talk about right today is graysexual, which I was like, oh, it's a term. So apparently graysexual is to acknowledge the gray area of the sexuality spectrum for people who don't explicitly and exclusively identify as asexual or aromantic. Many people who identify as graysexual do experience some sexual attraction or desire, but perhaps not at the same level or frequency as those who identify their sexuality as being completely outside of the asexual spectrum. So pretty much, like, gray sexual, from what I have gathered, is those people who just, like, they don't necessarily have a title for their sexuality, and they're, and it's very similar to the the abrosexual, where someone is fluid, their sexuality, and it changes. It's just kind of like giving more so, like, I guess more in detail of someone who is like, they may have some fluidity, but they may be a little bit more consistent than others with their change in sexuality.
Okay. So the gray sexual is basically the gray area that we talk about quite a few times. Okay, so that's 8 out of the 47.
Is it the 8? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. Oh, we talked about bisexuality and pansexuality. 7, 8. And asexuality. So that's 10. We're over 10 of them.
All right. That was going through that list. There's... it's hard to classify people, as you can see. Just have to make new categories.
Indeed. But all that would kind of like not be needed if we just all just respect each other and love each other and mind our business and drink our water.
Yeah. Drink your water. And humble yourself.
Right. Humility. Come on.
Humility will help out with that. Help out with that wanting to be nosy all the time. Because to be honest, I had at one point in time, I had a tendency to be kind of nosy. But I've learned to control myself.
Reel it in.
And like, yeah, do I need to know this? Does this have anything to do with me? It don't. So.
I'm so weak. I love it. But all right. So we're going to pause right there. And yes, I'm excited to like keep going and also add the romantics into the mix. And then after that, I guess I'll make it like a 3-part series, I guess, going through sexuality and sexual identity. Because like, I feel like we talked a little bit about it, but like, as far as like having like going through each one and like talking about it and whatnot. And also, if you guys have questions about the ones that we've talked about so far, you know where to hit us up on whatasongbirdsingspodcast@gmail.com, whatasongbirdsings on Instagram and Facebook, WTSS on Tick of the Talk. And yeah, and we would love to hear all of that. Do you have anything else before we wrap up and close out, Shahari?
I do not. This has been an interesting conversation as far as the topics of the different sexualities. I didn't know there's varying degrees of asexuality, but, you know, we're very unique, species. So.
We're a little all over the place.
Growing and learning and developing. We don't know what yet we will be in the end.
I mean, I could have sworn the Bible said we'll just be balls of light.
You have to show me that in the scripture. Just let me know that one.
I thought we were just going to be balls of light.
Just show me that in the scriptures there. Then we'll see. If it's in there, then I have not read that one. So, if you got the scriptures.
Balls of energy, essentially. Essentially, light is nothing but energy. But yeah.
But yeah, that's what I have for this one.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone so much. I hope you guys are enjoying this and will continue with us on our journey. We have a couple more episodes until our No Fucks Given. Super excited for that. And after that hour, Shahari take over. And like I said, in between, I will probably continue this series. And yeah, keep a lookout on when different things that I will be kind of like spearheading, leading on this platform and my personal platform. And yeah, and hopefully we hear from you guys soon. So until next time, bye.
Bye.
Reflection, 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 reflection.